I'll ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. We've been working our way together through the book of Romans. In fact, this morning, we're actually going to wrap up our studies in the book of Romans for now. We've kind of reached the halfway point in the book of Romans, and Lord willing, next week, we'll take a break from this, and we're going to do something completely different. But this morning, we want to wrap up our studies in the first half of Romans as we consider together deliverance from sinful flesh. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 7. We're beginning with verse 14. Let's hear God's word. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Thus far, the reading of God's word, may the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, your word is such a blessing to us. It's a means of grace. And so we come to your word this morning that you might confer that grace upon us, that as we understand your word, as we hear it, that it might be clear to us, that we might take it to heart, that it might sink deep within us and might take root and sprout and bear good fruit within our lives. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd bless us by your word. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we left off last time with verse 14, where Paul says, we know that the law is spiritual. Well, God's law is his commandments, God's rules, God's instructions, God's directions, what you're supposed to do, what you're not supposed to do. When Paul talks about God's law in this passage, he means God's commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he says, we know that the law is spiritual. In other words, we know that God's law is good. God's law is a good thing. We're not going to criticize the Ten Commandments. Okay, we're not going to critique the Ten Commandments. We're not going to throw out the Ten Commandments. When Paul says God's law is spiritual, he's saying it's a good thing given to us by God. In fact, we saw last week that Paul said the law is good and righteous and holy. When Paul says that God's law is spiritual, he's saying that God's law is good and righteous and holy like God is. Because God is the one who has given us the law. God's law is given to us by his Spirit. It's God's Spirit who gave us the Ten Commandments. And so, of course, God's law is pure and perfect like God is. It's holy, righteous, and good like God is. When Paul says we know the law is spiritual, he's saying the law is perfect and pure and holy, righteous, and good like God, because God has given us his law to us. But when Paul says that the law is spiritual, he's also saying that the law applies to more than just our outward actions. Now, obviously, the Ten Commandments apply to our outward actions. Do not lie, do not murder, do not steal. These are outward actions. But when Paul says the law is spiritual, he's saying it doesn't just apply to outward actions, but it also applies to our thoughts and our motives, our motivations. What drives you? What motivates you? What are you drawn to? What do you love? What are you passionate about? What do you fear? What do you dread? What are you trying to avoid? When Paul says the law is spiritual, he's saying it not only addresses our outward actions, but also our thoughts and our motivations. Not just what you do, but why you do it and how you do it. So when Paul says that God's law is spiritual, he's saying God's law is pure and perfect. It's holy, righteous, and good, just like God is, because God is the one who gave us his law. But he's also saying that God's law addresses every aspect of your being, from your outward behavior and your words to the deepest thoughts and motivations of your heart. He's saying that God's law speaks to every bit of who you are and every aspect of your life. Paul says the law is spiritual, but I'm of the flesh. And when he uses the word flesh there, he doesn't mean his body. Of course he has a body. Everybody has a body. But when Paul uses the word flesh in this case, he's talking about sin that lives within you. Okay? Sometimes we call that sinful flesh. It feels like your body because it's right there. It feels like it's part of you. When Paul uses the word flesh here, he doesn't mean your body. Your body's good. Your body's a gift from God. Your body's part of who you are. But he's talking about your sinful flesh, the sin that lives within you, inside of you. He says, I'm of the flesh, sold under sin. So Paul is saying, we know the law is spiritual, but I'm not. We know the law is holy, righteous, and good, but I'm not. We know the law is perfect and pure, but I'm not. In our passage this morning, Paul is addressing what you might call the dilemma of the Christian life. And that is that the sinful flesh opposes God's law. Okay, look with me in our text. We've actually looked at verse 14 last time, so we're actually beginning this morning with verse 15. Paul says, for I do not understand my own actions. I don't get it. I don't understand myself. I don't know why I do the things I do. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is a mature Christian, if there ever was one. This is a man who helped plant many of the first New Testament churches. He wrote most of the New Testament. He says, I don't understand myself. I don't understand my own actions. It's a conundrum. It's a mystery. It's a dilemma. He says, I don't understand why I do the things I do. For I do not do what I want. Well, Paul here is writing as a Christian. He's writing as a believer. He's writing as someone who wants to obey God, who wants to please God, who wants to fulfill the law. And he just said the law is good, the law is spiritual, the law is holy, righteous, and good. He just said the law is the right way to live, and now he says, I want to do that, I want to obey it. He's writing as a Christian who wants to walk in the paths of God's commands, but he says, I don't do what I want to do. I want to do it, but I don't do it. He says, I do the very thing I hate. Hey, A Christian loves God's law. You love God's law because you love God. God's law is holy, righteous, and good like God is. And you love God, so you love his law. God's law is perfect and pure like God is. And you love God, so you love his law. A Christian loves God's law. You look at it and you say, yes, that's right. That's good. That is the way I want to live. That's the person I want to be. I don't want to dredge up the past. I don't want to be petty. I don't want to be one of those people that people have to tiptoe around because I'm always on edge and I'm always offended easily. And I don't want to be a worrier, and I don't want to be obsessive, and I don't want to be so turned in on myself, and I don't want to be full of self-pity, and I don't want to be that person. I look at God's law and I think, oh, that is so good. That's who I want to be. That's who God's calling me to be. I want to be that. I want to be brave. I want to be bold. I want to be able to forget myself. I want to live in love. I want to be a person of joy and faith and confidence. I want to be someone people can depend upon. That's who I want to be. I want to walk in God's commandments. A Christian, a believer, loves God's law, but knows that he can't keep it by himself. That's what Paul says. He says, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now remember that Paul is responding to a legalistic approach to life. Okay? First century Judaism was basically legalism, which was just do the right thing. You know, you be a good Jewish person and keep the rules. You know, legalism is the idea that if you just pay attention, if you just give it your all, you can do it. You can be good. You can obey the rules. And Paul is saying, listen, I agree with you. God's rules are the best. I love them. But on my own, I can't keep them. I can't do it. A Christian loves God's law, but knows he just can't keep it by himself. Verse 16, he says, now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it's good. He's saying, I'm not just trying to run wild. I don't want to live this way. I want to serve the Lord. I want to obey God. I am agreeing that the law is good. Verse 17, so now it's no longer I who do it. We don't know if Paul has a particular sin in mind or just sin in general. But it could be that he's thinking of coveting. You remember last week he was talking about coveting and how he read thou shalt not covet, and that got him thinking about coveting. And he began, it's not hard to imagine, maybe Paul was prone to covet. He had a hard life. I mean, he was chased from town to town. He was stoned. He was accused of blasphemy. And he had a hard life. And you can imagine maybe at times in his weaker moments, he may have been tempted to be jealous. Why can't I be like everybody else? Why can't I have a 9-to-5 job where I work and then I come home and sleep in a bed and have a family? Perhaps Paul has in mind coveting. Okay. He says, now, I know that's wrong. I don't want to be that way. I want to be happy and joyful and content with whatever God calls me to be. I don't want to covet. He says, so now it's, in a sense, it's no longer I who do it. Paul's saying, in a sense, that's not me that covets. That's not the new me. That's not the new person I've become. When you come to trust in Jesus Christ, you are a new person. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. And it doesn't mean you don't sin anymore. But Paul says there's a sense in which that's not the new me. A Christian is not defined by his or her sins. What do you call somebody who gets drunk all the time? He's a drunkard or an alcoholic. That's what he is. Someone who can never tell the truth is a liar. Someone who takes things that doesn't belong to him is a thief. You can go on and on. We're in a sense defined by our actions. We're defined by what we do. But Paul says, once you come to know the Lord Jesus, once you're trusting in Jesus, you are no longer defined by your sin. Okay, suppose you were a drunkard, or you were a thief, or you were a liar, or you were like Paul, you were a jealous, coveting person, and now you've come to know Jesus Christ. Does that mean you're never going to struggle with those sins? Of course you're going to struggle with those sins sometimes. You might. But you're no longer defined by them. You're not a drunkard anymore. You're not a thief anymore. You're not a liar anymore. You're not a jealous person anymore. You may struggle with jealousy sometimes. That's no longer who you are at the core of your being. Listen, sometimes you may have too much to drink, but you're not a drunkard. You're not defined by your sin anymore. Paul says, in a sense, that's not me. He says, it's sin that dwells within me. Now, Paul's not making excuses here, but he's making a distinction between who he is at his core in Jesus Christ as a new person, as opposed to the reality of sin that still lives within him. Okay. A Christian acknowledges the reality of indwelling sin. Okay. Remember what Paul is doing. He's responding against a legalistic approach to life. Okay. And you don't have to be a first century Jewish person to be prone to legalism. We're all prone to legalism. We're all prone to just try to be good and think that I do my best. I can do it. Paul says, listen, I hear you. God's law is good, but I can't keep it by myself. He says, you see, God's law doesn't just apply to outward actions. A legalist tends to think that God's law is just about outward actions, just what you do outwardly. And so legalism tends to be about just your outward behavior and keeping up appearances. Well, if all God says is don't murder, I suppose you could get through the week next week and you'd be fine. But Paul says God's law is spiritual. It doesn't just apply to my outward actions. It addresses my inward thoughts and my motives. And so thou shalt not murder means I got to do something about my anger and my temper toward people. Paul says, listen, sin isn't just outward actions, but it's this indwelling within me. Remember, we saw last time God's law is like a neighbor with a flashlight. Right? You invite him over to your house. You think your house is clean, but he begins going through all your back rooms and opening up your closets, and he's going through the basement. He's going through the attic, and he's shining his light, and he's looking under the table, and he's showing you all kind of cobwebs and dirt that you didn't know was there. Okay? God's law is like that. It's like a lamp or a light. It doesn't just address your outward behavior. It shines a light on your inward heart and your thoughts. And Paul sees an aspect of humanity that most of us are not aware of, and that is sin that dwells within us. We call that indwelling sin. A Christian loves God's law, but he's honest, and he acknowledges the reality of indwelling sin. I can't keep God's law by myself. Verse 18, Paul says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." Sometimes we get the idea that Jesus is sort of like training wheels, and you really need Jesus a lot when you're a young Christian. You know, but you're going to kind of outgrow him. You know, we kind of get that idea, like a child outgrows training wheels. We get the idea that I really need Jesus when I need to be saved or when I first become a Christian. But then soon I'll get to where I'm so good I can live the Christian life without him. As if somehow your sinful flesh is going to get better. Okay. The sinful flesh only comes in one flavor, and that's sinful. Okay. Sinful flesh never becomes unsinful. It's sinful. And so you're not going to get to that point where your flesh is not a problem in this lifetime. Here is Paul. He's a mature, godly, Christian man. And he says, nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh. Okay? He says, I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. This is an apostle. And he says, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I don't have the ability to obey God even though I want to. Now, some people find it impossible to believe that Paul is talking about a Christian. They think he must be talking about somebody else. He must be talking about a non-Christian. Or if he's talking about himself, he must be talking about himself before he became a Christian. They can't imagine that he's talking about himself as a Christian. But you have to remember what Paul is responding to. He's responding to this legalistic idea that you can be good and you can obey God if you just set your mind to it. And Paul is saying, I can't. I can't. If you really understand what God's law says and how it speaks not just to outward behavior but to every aspect of your being, Paul says, I can't do that. My sinful flesh within me is opposed to God's law. He says, verse 19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean you give up? I mean, if Paul couldn't do it, I certainly can't do it. What does that mean? If the sinful flesh within me is opposed to God's law, what do I do? What does it mean? It means that the new life must be lived in dependence on Christ. Okay? That's Paul's point this morning. It's not that you should give up or that you should despair. It's that you can't do it in your own ability. You can't do it in your strength. You've got to live the Christian life in conscious, daily reliance and dependence on Jesus. Verse 20, he says, now, if I do what I do not want, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Okay, he's making the same point. Okay? He's not sugarcoating his sin. He's saying, listen, I got sin in me. Okay, obeying God's law is all good and well, but I can't do it. I've got indwelling sin. He's not making excuses. He's acknowledging it, and he's actually saying, my sin goes a lot deeper than people think. But at the same time, he doesn't despair because he knows I'm not defined by that. He says, in a sense, that's not me. That's not the new me. Christ has made me new. That's my sin. That's my indwelling sin. But that's not me. He says, it's not me that does it. He says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. All right, well, this is kind of a play on words. Paul's been talking about God's law in terms of God's commandments and his instructions and directions. Now he's using the word law in a different way. You think of the law of gravity, okay? You throw something up, it's going to come down. It's just the way it is, okay? It's a law in the sense that's just the way it is. It's not really a commandment, but it's a law. You throw something up, it's going to come down. Paul says, this is a law. It's just the way it is. Okay? When I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Paul said, that's just the way it is. Okay? Paul is a mature, older Christian man. He's an apostle, and yet he still has sinful flesh. His sinful flesh hasn't got any better. He says, that's just the way it is. Indwelling sin will always be a problem for Christians in this lifetime. Your sinful flesh doesn't somehow get better as you grow as a Christian. Okay? The Christian life is not gradually weaning yourself off of Jesus and learning to do it yourself. That's not the Christian life. We get this idea that, boy, I've been a Christian for so long, by now I ought to be able to do it on my own. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is not learning to do it on your own. The Christian life is learning to depend on Christ more. Paul's sinful flesh was as sinful as yours is. He doesn't say, well, now that I've been a Christian for a while, my sinful flesh is kind of good. His sinful flesh is bad. It's as sinful as yours is. Paul's maturity hasn't come by improving his flesh. His maturity has come by recognizing that about himself, recognizing that he can't do it himself, and learning more and more to depend on Jesus. That's the Christian life. Learning more and more to live in conscious reliance and dependence upon Jesus. That's where Paul's growth comes from. That's where his ability to live for Jesus comes from, by consciously living in dependence upon Christ. It is impossible for a Christian to obey God's law on his own. Verse 21, or 22, he says, for I delight in the law of God in my inner being. I love God's law. That's who I want to be. That's the person I want. I love the thought of that, of just living out of grace and knowing that I'm forgiven and being the man I'm supposed to be. I love it. In my inner being, he says, in the depths of who I am, that's what I want. He says, I love the law in my inmost being. I delight in it. That doesn't sound like a non-Christian. That doesn't sound like an unbeliever. He's writing here as a Christian. He says, I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members, the members of my body, another law, okay? He's using law a third way here, a law like a rule, just the way things are. He says, in my inner self, I genuinely love God, and I love his law, and I want to obey, but in my body, I see this other law at work, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. This is the Apostle Paul. And he says, it's like the law of sin is in me and it makes me captive and I can't obey the way I'm supposed to. It's impossible for a Christian to obey God's law on his own. In fact, it's wretched to even try to. Verse 24, Paul says, wretched man that I am. Wretched man. Okay. We know that salvation is by grace. It's a free gift, okay, received by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. We know that. We know that salvation is free. Forgiveness is free. It's a gift. It's grace. You just receive it. You just accept it by faith. We understand that salvation is by grace. Jesus saves us from the penalty of God's law. Okay, we don't keep God's law. We have violated God's law. We deserve to God's wrath and his judgment. But Jesus came into this world and he perfectly kept God's law. He has lived it out for us. He is the law in the flesh. Jesus did everything a human being is supposed to do and he did it for us. He lived for us and then he died for us. On the cross, Jesus took our punishment. He took the penalty of God's law for us so that we can be forgiven by grace. It's free. Jesus saves us from the penalty of God's law. And we know that. But too often we think, now that I'm a Christian, now that I've received this free gift of salvation, now it's up to me. And now I got to just go back to work and try to be good and try to do my best. And we wouldn't say it this way, but it's as if we think salvation is by grace, but somehow the Christian life is by works. We wouldn't ever say it that way, but we fall into that where we look back fondly on that, for some of you who may remember it, on that time when you first came to know Jesus. Oh, that was so wonderful. That was so free and great. I wish life was like that. But now life is a drudgery, and it's just me trying to be good. And we live as if salvation was by grace, but somehow the Christian life is by works. And Paul says that is a wretched way to live. He says, I love the law, and I want to obey it, but I can't. Wretched man that I am. You know, it's one thing to be a non-Christian. A non-Christian can obey God's law, but maybe he doesn't care, or maybe he doesn't really know what God's law is. But to be a Christian and to know God's law and to love it and to want to obey it and not be able, that's a wretched condition to be in. To try to live the Christian life in your own strength is a wretched, wretched place to be. It's miserable. Paul says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He said, I'm dying here. This is horrible. I hate this. I can't do anything I want to do. I want to live for God, and I can't. I don't have the ability. I hate this. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does Paul mean when he says, thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we've already said that Jesus saves us from the penalty of God's law. Thanks be to God, we're forgiven. But I don't think that's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about this struggle to obey. That's the wretchedness. He knows he's forgiven, but the wretchedness is wanting to serve God and not being able to. And he says, who will save me from that? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's saying Jesus also enables us to obey God's law. He's saying, of course I can't do it in my own strength and my own ability. I can't just try harder and be good. But that doesn't mean you give up. It means you look in faith to Jesus and you rely on Jesus and you depend on Jesus, and more Jesus enables you to grow, and he gives you the strength and he gives you the ability to walk in the path of God's commandments. Okay, look with me in your bulletin this morning at our call to worship. Okay, or you can just look in, if you want to, you can just look in your Bible at Romans 8 verse 3, either one. Romans 8, 3, Paul says that God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. He says the law is spiritual, it's holy, it's righteous, it's good, it's perfect, and it's pure. But there's some things the law can't do. It can't get you to heaven because of my sinful flesh. God's law can't get me there. And so he says, so God does what God's law can't do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Jesus obviously isn't sinful, but he had a body that looked like sinful flesh. It looked like that. And by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Jesus died on the cross. That shows us how wretched and serious sin is that Christ had to die to pay for it. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Okay. Jesus died on the cross so the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled for us. Okay. Jesus died for us. He died so the requirements of the law would be fulfilled for us. But that's not what Paul says here. He says, so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about Jesus died so that now in fellowship with him, God's law is being fulfilled in you as you grow and as you learn to obey. He says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, not depending on your own ability and just trying harder, but according to the Spirit. That is, in conscience, reliance, and dependence upon the Spirit of God. Paul's message here is not intended to be negative. It's simply intended to warn you that legalism doesn't work. That just trying to be good isn't going to cut it. It's going to wear you out, and it's going to make you miserable. What Paul is saying is because your sinful flesh is opposed to God's law, you need to live in daily reliance and dependence upon Jesus. And as you do, as you depend in faith on Jesus Christ, he gives you his Spirit, and more he enables you to obey. Paul concludes by saying, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind. Okay. He's a Christian. He's talking as a Christian. He's saying, I serve the law of God. I love it. I acknowledge it. I want to obey it. I know that it's good. I'm not trying to run from God. I'm not trying to disobey. I love it. And in my mind, in my heart, in my inner man, I absolutely love God's law. But with my flesh, he says, I'm acknowledging this, that in my sinful flesh, I serve the law of God. He's not making excuses. He's just saying, I need to know that about myself so I don't try to do it in my own strength, but so that I learn more and more to rely on Jesus. That was Paul's secret to the Christian life. That's what his key was to his Christian growth, was that he wasn't just trying to be better, that he had learned that he completely needed Jesus, that the new life must be lived in regular, faithful, daily dependence on Jesus. And as you do that, he gives you his Spirit, and he enables you more and more to obey. Let's pray together as we prepare to come to the table. Our Father in heaven, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We can't do it. We're not the people that you called us to be. We're not able to do it in our own strength. And we thank you, Lord, that the Apostle Paul was honest. That he was honest, and he would come clean and admit the good he wants to do, he doesn't do it. That he can't do it. And it's liberating. It's freeing, because now we know we're not alone. It's not just me. It's not just us. That even Paul was in that situation. And it's a freeing, Lord, because it frees us from just trying harder. And it gives us direction. It tells us there's hope. And we're going about things the wrong way. That we can live for God. And we can obey. And we can serve. And we can more and more fulfill God's law. But we have to do it in reliance upon you. And so we pray for that, Lord. For humbled hearts. For hearts of faith, that before we rush off to all our responsibilities, and then throughout the day, we would consciously live in reliance on you, and that we'd look to you for the ability to serve. We pray for that, Lord, for a growing sense of dependence upon you. For we ask in Jesus' name.